Messenger. Good afternoon. I can have your attention. I am not Mike Herhold, the president of First Friday Club, but I am Bernie Rochford, the vice president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. Mike's a little bit under the weather with his voice, so he's pressed me into service. I want to welcome you on behalf of the board to our March 2017 program. Our topic today is how God has walked with me through high school with five local high school students as our speakers. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. On your tables, you'll find white cards so that you can write down questions for our speakers when they're finished. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement break, and we'll collect the cards at that time. I would like to introduce Holy Family Elementary School student Ben Grayson to offer our opening prayer.
Good afternoon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord of all creation, we praise you, for you abundantly give and abundantly bless. We gather together to enjoy this meal and enjoy this fellowship. Thank you for this food, and thank you for the peace and joy that is present at our tables. May we often choose to slow down and appreciate the blessings you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Ben. I would like to introduce at this time First Friday Club board member to introduce our speakers, Jackie Vignier.
Good afternoon. This is one of our favorite First Friday luncheons for all of us that attend. It is so important for the young people, the young church, to have opportunities to share the very real message of hope, of love, and dignity of all people. It is my pleasure to introduce the young people who will be sharing with us their faith experience, the importance of an authentic faith foundation, and how God walks with them daily. And so we're going to go right into it. And so as I call up the student's name, I just ask you to come up in order and then sit in the chairs. Or you can stand and wait as I call you. So our first is Autumn Maragon. You can stand. Okay. Autumn is a senior at Archbishop Hoban. Hoban is a co-ed Catholic high school in the Holy Cross tradition. Autumn stays busy in sports, theater, and student government. After high school, she plans to go into nursing but is still undecided as to which school. Autumn is the daughter of Michael and Susan Naragon and a member of St. Francis de Sales Church. We welcome Autumn. Next is Chase Bills. Chase is a senior at Our Lady of Elms. Oh, sorry. Our Lady of Elms School is an independent Catholic school rooted in the Dominican tradition. Chase enjoys theater and youth ministry and is a Eucharistic minister. And after high school, she plans to attend college and is still undecided at this point. Chase is the daughter of Dawn and Trevor Bills and a member of St. Sebastian Catholic Church. You're welcome. Chase. Next, we have Mitchell Adamchek. And there. Mitchell is a senior at St. Vincent St. Mary's. St. Vincent St. Mary was formed in 1973 by the merging of the two oldest Catholic schools in Akron. Mitchell is an honors student and a member of the baseball and bowling team. After high school, he plans to attend Case Western in computer engineering. And Mitchell is the son of Dr. Mark and Rebecca Adamchek and a member of St. Sebastian Catholic Church. And we welcome Mitchell. And fourth is Michael Gerard. Michael is a senior at Walsh Jesuit. Walsh Jesuit is a college preparatory college, Catholic high school, in Cuyahoga Falls. Michael is a leader of Walsh Jesuit Labra ministry. After high school, he plans to study engineering in an undecided at school. Michael is the son of David and Danae Gerard and a member of the Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish. And finally, we have Joel Garvin. Yay. Joel is a senior at Cuyahoga Falls High School. Cuyahoga Falls High School is part of the 6th District Educational Compact, and it strives to being a hub in their community committed to a culture of caring through innovation, creativity, and personal education for all. Joel's gift of music and leadership are used in parish ministry, diocesan ministry, and national youth ministries. Joel will be attending Borromeo Seminary in the fall. Joel is the son of Peter and Mary Beth Garvin and is a member of Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish. Okay, so you can start and then just kind of go down. All right. Thank you, guys.
Hello, everyone. It's an honor to be here today. My name is Autumn Narragon. I'd like to start off by sharing a few quick facts about myself. I'm the youngest of four, and I'm born and raised in a family in which love is always at center focus. I'm a member of St. Francis de Sales Parish, and I'm a confirmed Catholic. I'm called to show God's love to a world in need through all I do. I'm a student who understands the value of learning and strives for much deeper than a passing grade. I'm a friend who understands that the little things can often mean the most. I'm a daughter, a sister, a leader, and a follower of Christ. I'm proud of the person that I have grown to be. I am nervous, but more excited for the future that's ahead of me. And I'm so blessed to be part of more than one genuine and loving family. I'm passionate. I'm Hoban. And I'm a child of God. Archbishop Hoban High School will forever be a part of who I am. I can honestly and sincerely say that this school has shown me the beauty of inclusiveness, the importance of discipline, and most importantly, the constant presence and guiding force of Christ in my life. I'm astonished by how much I have grown in my faith in just 4 years. In some ways, these 4 years have flown by like the blink of an eye. And from other points of view, the extensive amount of experience, education, and incredible memories I've squeezed into these 4 years, it's astounding. Thinking back to first period religion class, my freshman year, I'm in awe as to how much I've learned about Catholic social teaching, Christ in Scripture, and the intensity and joy of the statement that God is love. That first semester ninth grade religion class is where it all started. This class is so important to me because it's where I first began to learn about the Holy Cross core values. And I didn't realize at the time how much I would learn to embody, encourage, and truly admire every single one. The first value I sensed a connection with was zeal. I remembered it as a vocabulary word from a seventh grade religion test, but it wasn't something I had applied directly to my daily life yet. Also, I learned that I wasn't the only one who felt a certain connection to this value. The Blessed Basil Moreau, the founder of the Congregation of Holy Cross, particularly admired it as well. He wisely said, "Zeal is the great desire to make God known, loved, and served, and thus to bring knowledge of salvation to others." Zeal, to me, is a hunger for a calling that allows me to shine as a Christ light in the world. It's a burning passion for direction and guidance on how I might live out His will. Recognizing this and working to capture it marked the beginning of when I truly began to be aware of God's presence. At 14, I was ready to know exactly what God had planned for me, exactly where I would go to college, exactly what career I would excel in, and everything life had in store for me. I now understand that God's callings and His answers, they come in time and with patience, and no, they're not always convenient nor expected. In the winter of my sophomore year, I had just finished my second year as a Hoban girls soccer player. I had obtained a varsity letter and knew I was potentially headed to a starting position on next year's team. But what I didn't see coming was my change of heart. Although the feelings began at a slow pace,
I suddenly, then rapidly, began to see a different future for my next 2 years in high school. After a lot of thought, and truly a vast amount of prayer, I made the difficult decision to leave the soccer team, and I became fully committed to Hovind Theater. Without the recognition of God's notion and confiding in him fully for the courage to change a big part of my life, I wouldn't be the person I am today. God's guidance often doesn't seem to be what we expect it to be, but with the gift of his grace, he's always working to get us on his path. Both Hovind Girls Soccer and Hovind Theater have contributed so greatly to my journey of faith, and especially to my growing relationship with the Hovind family. And the memories I've made in these commitments will forever hold a special place in my heart. Because of the love and passion I found in the music and life of Hovind Theater, I began to see a future career in it. For about 2 years, that was the plan. I saw no other path. However, God did. By September of my senior year, he revealed to me a calling I certainly did not see coming. Yet, once I opened my heart to the call, I was filled with an overwhelming sense of peace and joy that could honestly only come from God's grace. I'm now pursuing a major in nursing and plan to serve in the Navy's Nurse Corps. I'm planning a life for myself that revolves around direct care, nobility, sacrifice, and most importantly, a life that reflects the love of Christ our Lord, all because I had the courage to listen to God's plan for me. I know that my future will be challenging, but I also know that I have nothing to fear. Hovind has prepared and expanded not just my intelligence, but my loves and my passions as well. Blessed Basil Moreau inscribed it into the school's foundation, saying, "How we educate the mind will change with the times, but how we cultivate the heart is and will remain timeless." I've been set up thoroughly to take on my future academic challenges, and I've been shown in the classroom, by example, and through direct experience, how positive values can influence everything in your life. God has guided me to his path in numerous ways, but one of his primary sources for my journey has been the Hovind family. At Hovind, when we say family, we mean family. I've never been in an atmosphere of companionship, connection, and support quite like it. This bond is not only formed in the classrooms, on the field, or through the flowing traffic of the halls, but it's especially strong when we come together in the chapel. Through the school's spiritual engagement program, I'm given the opportunity to take part in numerous activities and services that allow me to strengthen my bond with the Lord as well as my peers. Particularly through early morning masses and after-school centering prayer, my love for the Lord, my peers, and life itself has skyrocketed. In this family, I think our bonds authentically form because we're all discovering just how inseparable all our paths really are. Within the Hovind family, the image of the body of Christ is one that we strive after. During high school, we're all learning what our gifts and talents are, and at Hovind, we're constantly learning to embody the meaning behind the phrase, "be true to you." We're constantly working to lift each other up in those strengths so that, as a unit, we can all be functioning together. Because we may be many parts, but we are all one body. In my opinion, the two core values of family and inclusiveness are inseparable. As a family, we're called to guide and support each other in community, and in order to embody this fully, everyone must be involved. Ohana means family, and family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. It's supremely inclusive in nature, and that's what makes it so beautiful to me. When I switched from being an athlete to a performer, I was apprehensive about what my peers might think, but with what I know now, I had no reason to be. Making that transition, I couldn't have been more supported and encouraged by everyone around me. I'm so thankful for the blessing that the Hovind family truly is. One of many experiences I will never forget from these last 4 years was an alternative spring break trip I had the honor of taking to New Orleans. Seeing a different society, a unique culture, while working with volunteers to rebuild homes destroyed by Hurricane Katrina, it was undoubtedly eye-opening. I was immersed directly into the real world. Not everyone out there holds up the same values I get to see every day in the Hovind family. But I've always been a glass half full kind of person. The Holy Cross core value of hope is one that I've quickly gravitated towards. It's courageous. It's not always simple nor easy, but there is a light in the world. And if you can't see it, be it. Hope for a world based on justice and love can seem unimaginable at times, but every person is called to follow the example that Jesus set and God asks us to put our full trust in him. Not only can we hope for goodness, but we can encourage love by being that beacon of hope for all who surround us. In 4 years, I've grown to heights that 14-year-old me wouldn't be able to fathom. And the beauty of it is, I've barely even begun. God is guiding me every day. The most important piece of knowledge that I can take away from my high school years is that God is always present. He is always actively here. I rely on this core value of divine providence. It connects me to God's grace and his work in the world, and it allows me to hear his call. I'm a joyful person because of him. I'm a strong person because of him. I'm a disciple, a vessel, an important piece of one big puzzle, just like everybody else. I am blessed, I am loved, and most importantly, I'm a child of God. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Chase Bills. I'm a senior at Our Lady of the Elms and a parishioner at St. Sebastian Parish here in Akron. I was raised in a home where faith was the center of my life. Being born into a Catholic family, I never questioned my religion. I attended Mass every single Sunday and completed all of my sacraments. My relationship with God couldn't have been stronger throughout middle school. I felt like I was the closest I could ever be with him. I mean, my relationship had to be perfect, right? I did everything I was supposed to do. I attended St. Sebastian from kindergarten through 8th grade, so I had religion class every day. We went to church, and my family always made sure God was integrated into my daily life. But the more and more I started thinking about my religion, the more I started having thoughts that I never experienced. I started realizing that my faith was based on only what I was told to do by my family, teachers, and peers. I started feeling like my religion was not my own anymore. From that point on, I struggled to balance my Catholic faith traditions and my everyday habits. It wasn't until the summer going into freshman year that everything changed. Back in March of 2013, I was invited to attend a youth conference at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. I was kind of skeptical at first, but my best friend was going, so I decided to join. Once June rolled around, I packed my bags and headed off to the retreat. It just started off like any other retreat. We sang, listened to witness talks, and had Mass. I was starting to get a little disappointed, though, just because I had this big idea that something miraculous was supposed to happen. So I gave up. I stopped looking for signs and miracles. The last night drew upon us, and we attended Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. It was a big event because about 2,000 students were at this retreat. Adoration began with the priest entering in with a monstrance. He held it up so high and proud. I just stared at Jesus while the priest walked around the big field house. All of a sudden, an overwhelming sense of happiness went through my whole body. I just started to cry and cry. It was right then and there that I realized that I didn't need to have a perfect relationship with God. I just needed to have a good one. That weekend was a real eye-opener for me, and I started to live out my own beliefs. I now attended Mass because I wanted to, not just because I was expected to. I continued to be a part of St. Sebastian's youth ministry, beginning my freshman year until now, and I'm on the team to help plan retreats for the junior high. I've become very involved in the Catholic ministry at Our Lady of the Elms. I got involved with the preaching team after having the opportunity to attend the Dominican Preaching Conference in Adrian, Michigan, at Siena Heights University. This week-long conference highlighted the Dominican pillars of community, prayer, study, and preaching. For my years at the Elms, I know what community, prayer, and study are, but this conference opened my eyes to preaching, which is sharing Christ with more than just your words. It is the way we live our lives. During that week, we went on a service trip. I was selected to go to the Boys and Girls Club, where I heard stories of kids' unstable homes through their eyes. It was an overwhelming yet satisfying experience. I had never been exposed to a situation like that before. It was hard to hear until someone told me that I was chosen to be there for a reason, and he was right. Many times when God puts you out there into the world, he isn't trying to change your circumstance. He is mostly concerned with changing you within that circumstance. Your true character and inner strength matter to him because they are everlasting qualities. The strength and maturity that grows as you grow are all you'll need to continue the calling that God has for you. I've continued to deepen my relationship with God through these past 4 years. Going to high school was a huge transition for me. I had gained 2 younger siblings just before I walked into freshman year, and I also went from a co-ed to an all-girls school. Many people might think that this would be a big deal. I mean, the whole no boys idea didn't really affect me. It was the reality that I was able to feel comfortable speaking about certain matters and had the courage to stand up for what I believe in. God gave me a voice to speak my mind, and He gave me the strength to become a leader. I also started to encounter people of different faiths, which I had never experienced before. People who practice Hinduism, Judaism, and Islam surrounded me. I didn't know how to react to certain opinions stated in my theology class, so I began to pray about it and ask God to help me. I've become open to belief systems that aren't exactly like mine. He put these wonderful people in my life to help me, to love me, and to make me the person I was meant to be. I've often wondered why God put me on this earth if the majority of what I encountered were obstacles before pathways. But then I think about how cool it is that the same God who created mountains and oceans and galaxies looked at me and thought that the world needed one of me too. No matter the hurdle, He's there to assist me. If I can't figure something out, He guides my steps. When I feel too tired, He gives me rest. When I think that something is impossible, He shows me that all things are possible. If I feel that no one loves me, He gives me all of His love. When I can't forgive myself, He forgives me. God has done so many beautiful things, and it is amazing how He will never stop believing in me. And it is this belief that gives me the strength to believe in myself. Thank you.
I'm Mitchell Adamczyk, and I go to St. Vincent St. Mary High School, where I am a senior. Do I need to say it again, or did everyone hear it? All right, I'm Mitchell Adamczyk, and I'm a senior at St. Vincent St. Mary. So, everyone has a story. Everyone has a plan for themselves. God, as many people in this room can attest, God has a different plan for everyone, too. God has taken me up, reminded me that I'm still a kid, held my hand, and walked me through high school. He has always been there for me when I needed Him, and even when I wanted Him to go away. God has always guided me, directed me, and shown me the way I needed to go. When I was at a low point during junior year, I turned to God, and He was there to lead me out. When I was in the middle of a long baseball game and fatigue was eating away at me, God was there to sustain me. When I was struggling to stay awake and finish my homework, God gave me the strength to finish, or the knowledge to do it in study hall the next day. God has helped me see my path through this life. I've tried to show Him my path, but that never worked, because God knows what I need more than I do. He knew that I loved music, so He was the voice in the back of my head that nudged me to join the marching, jazz, and pep bands at school after nearly 10 years of being a pure piano soloist. I was recently accepted into the music program at Case as a saxophonist, so I'm immensely glad that this opportunity was handed to me. I didn't play the saxophone at all until the summer before sophomore year, so that went pretty well. God knew what He was doing when He kept telling me that I needed to play music. God always knows what He's doing. He's kept making suggestions to me about activities that I should pursue or clubs that I should join. For instance, there's always been a nagging to pursue technological things, and that might seem a little weird because most of the time we put God over here and technology over here, but, like, it's true. God knows what He made me for, and He knows what I love and what makes me happy, so He has a plan for me, and that plan is more wonderful than I could ever imagine. He's given me so many talents and skills to work with in this life, and He's shown me how to use them all. For example, He's shown me how to excel academically. I was just named a national merit finalist. He has shown me how to excel athletically. I play high school baseball and bowling, as was mentioned earlier. God has guided me spiritually. I'm a peer minister, Eucharistic minister, and Kairos retreatant. God knows what I am to do with my life, and I've listened to Him, and I cannot imagine a better way to have lived my high school years than doing it this way, fulfilling God's plan for me and developing into a young adult. I'm not trying to say that I'm an angel, though. I'm far from perfect, as we all are, but my troubles have been eased because I put my faith in God and trusted that He would provide for me. I knew that God would not give me anything that I couldn't handle, so when things were at their worst, I broke out the Bible, read the Word of God, and prayed. God spoke to me and answered my prayers, never failing to give me strength or resolve. God speaks in mysterious ways, which means that I didn't quite understand how most of what he was doing was supposed to help me. But now that I can look back on it, I know that everything really does happen for a reason. Even when my great-grandpa and my pap passed away within a few months of each other, there was a message there. God was teaching me that people don't just cease to exist when they die. It becomes our duty to keep them alive and continue spreading their ideas and values in our own lives. In this way, they are still with us in their eternal lives. And as my friend so eloquently wrote recently, why not greet death as a friend? For passing is just life's encore. Think not dying as an end, but meeting those who left before. I just really like that quote, so I thought I'd share it with you. Where we are in life is only one step in the whole journey. Our lives are a tale of epic proportions, and for those of us in high school, we're still in the opening chapters. While it is true that what we can do now will impact our future selves, who we are now isn't the only person that we can be. We're not only who we are now, but we're also who we have been, and we're also who we have not yet become. We are who we are today because of the sum of our past experiences. God has guided me through so much, and I can say that I'm happy with who I am today. God has walked with me and held my hand. My life hasn't been a walk in the park by any means, but God has helped me through it all, and I wouldn't be who I am today without this history with God. High school is different than grade school, and it can be difficult, but we need not worry about that. God will never ask us to do something that he doesn't know that we can do. It might be painful and stressful, but God will always win. If we can keep the strength of God with us at all times, then we will find enjoyment and success in life. God has been with me in so many ways through high school, which has led me to realize that God will take care of you, no matter what. Place your trust and faith in God, and he will help you through high school. And as most of the more experienced members in this crowd will tell you, he will help you through the rest of your life as well. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Michael Gerard, and I'm a senior at Walsh Jesuit. To begin, I would like to thank all the staff here at the restaurant for having us here for lunch, and for all of you who came to listen today. I would especially like to thank all my family and friends who are here. Without you, I wouldn't be up here graced with the opportunity to talk about walking with God through high school. When I was first asked to be the student from Walsh Jesuit to speak with you all, I started to wonder how I wanted to tell my story. I knew I couldn't start with once upon a time, and I started to wonder... Oh, I'm sorry. And I was sitting in my senior speech class the other day, and I saw exactly what I wanted to say sitting on the wall in front of me. Of all the quotes and pictures that decorate the walls of Mr. Greskovich's classroom, there's only one mounted on a bright yellow background. The quote by Elizabeth Barrett Browning reads, "I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you." I think this quote says a lot about my journey with God over these past 4 years. For almost every moment I have found myself walking with God, it has been in the presence of the people I love. My faith journey through high school started way before I first walked through the doors of Walsh Jesuit. My first lessons on what matters most in life were from my mother, who told me the only three things we need in life are faith, family, and friends. She always taught me that these were the most important things in life, because they focused on relationships and being in communion with other people, that all other things were secondary. She put faith first because she knew that if we didn't have God in our lives, our other relationships would suffer. To this day, these are the three things that I cherish most in my life. The lessons she taught nurtured me through my formative years in grade school, but then came the decision of high school. At this point in my story, God walked with me as he manifested himself in my father. After I visited Walsh Jesuit with some of my classmates from Immaculate Heart of Mary, my father asked me what I liked most about the school. My answer to his question surprises me more today than I think it surprised him 4 years ago. I said to him, "Dad, they were the only school that took us to their chapel." At that moment, I wasn't sure why my high school decision was being based off of what parts of the building I visited. But looking back, I know it was God's plan revealing itself in its typical, mysterious fashion. I think it's safe for me to say that my freshman year passed in a pretty normal and uneventful manner. I became involved in sports, made some awesome friends, and loved everything Walsh had to offer. But then, as it seems he always does, God gave me an opportunity and a choice to make. It arrived via a letter which invited me to travel to Maryland the following year as a part of Walsh Jesuits' delegation to the Arupe Leaders Summit. The Arupe Leaders Summit is a chance for students from Jesuit high schools across the nation to come together and deepen their understanding of a faith that does justice. Not knowing how I was chosen to be invited and not having an explanation for why I wanted to go so badly, I walked into the campus ministry offices for the first time. While I once looked at this as a stroke of luck that I became involved with campus ministry so early in life, I know that it was God's way of letting me choose the path I wanted to take as we walked together. The following February, after almost an entire year of anticipation, I finally traveled to Maryland. While there, I was amongst a multitude of students my age who had a true passion for helping the least of our brothers and sisters. This experience helped me develop a newfound love for service, which I have carried with me ever since. Returning to Walsh in my junior year, I put my commitment to others into action by becoming involved in the Labra ministry. For those of you who do not know what Labra is, it is a program that has been going on at Walsh for over 500 straight weeks. Every Monday night, a group of students and faculty members gather together to prepare food, reflect on the gospel the day before, and go out on the streets of Akron to share in communion with the poor and the homeless. Labra has become a huge part of my life, especially in this past year when I was asked to be a leader of the program, helping out with some of the behind-the-scenes work that helps it run smoothly each week. Labra has been the place where I have most committed myself to the service of others. The next big event in my walk with God came at the beginning of my second semester of junior year when I went on my Kairos retreat. Kairos is a four-day retreat where students remove themselves from the outside world, leave behind their cell phones, and take an opportunity to grow in themselves, with others, and with God. Being a part of K107 changed my life because it was the first time I was truly on God's time. Removing my mask, getting to know people as my true self, and finding that they love me despite my downfalls helped me to figure out what love truly is. It has been this unadulterated love that has sustained my relationship with God these past 2 years of high school. My experiences with Kairos and Labra led me to go on an immersion trip over the summer before senior year. On the 4th of July, 11 other students and I left Walsh Jesuit for Louisville, Kentucky, where we would be working for the week. One of the first things we all learned while we were there was the correct way to pronounce the name of the city. For the week we were there, I was a part of the group that would teach English as a second language classes to people from all over the world. One particular example where I learned a lot more about love and about trusting in God was from two gentlemen from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. On the last day of classes, as we began our break, I held the door for these two men as a caseworker walked down the hallway. She explained to Alenge, one of the men from the DRC, that she had a present for him in her hands. He didn't understand what she meant, but when the caseworker handed the gift to him, his face lit up. What he held in his hands were pictures of his newborn daughter and his wife, both of whom were still back in the Congo. He and Loli used what English they knew to tell us how they both had families back home, but they had come to the United States so they could provide for them. These two gentlemen, in a new country thousands of miles from the people they loved, showed me that love knows no boundaries and that, with God, everything is possible. And now my story heads into senior year. As the eldest students in the school, seniors are always supposed to be leaders for everyone else to look up to. I believe that God played a huge part in giving me my greatest leadership role this year, leading a Kairos retreat. The other leaders of K113 and I formed an inseparable bond as we helped the retreatants on their own faith journeys. As many of the leaders have said before, we learn more about ourselves and our relationships with God and with others through those people we are supposed to be helping than they probably learn from us. Kairos gave me yet another opportunity to deepen my relationship with God, and that is what will sustain me as I continue my faith journey through college. My walk with God through high school has been a series of blessings I feel lucky to have been given, and opportunities such as being before you today that I'm grateful to have been given. Thank you, and God bless.
My name is Joel Garvin. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a senior at Cuyahoga Falls High School. And my parish is Immaculate Heart of Mary in Cuyahoga Falls. At Cuyahoga Falls High School, we aren't necessarily known for a whole lot of good things, like these shining schools over here. It's a great school. I love. I met some alumni tonight, which is amazing. And we have some very successful people, but not necessarily good things. We have some semi-frequent, you know, altercations in the cafeteria. We aren't really known for our academic achievements. And unlike Hoban here, our football team has won one out of our last 20 games. But that doesn't mean there aren't bright spots at Cuyahoga Falls. We have a flourishing arts and music program. Our marching band was recently named the best in the greater Cleveland area, and we have numerous career programs, like the one I'm in, to help our students succeed. I have 5 older brothers, 2 awesome parents who are here, 1 niece, and 1 nephew. And for all of my life before my sophomore year of high school, I was actually homeschooled. This meant I was a little more sheltered from the real world, and it made kind of an interesting transition into a public school for sophomore year. Being homeschooled from kindergarten to 9th grade was great, and it really helped me make a lot of tight bonds with my family. We learned together, played together, helped each other, and prayed together. Being homeschooled was a lot of fun growing up, and it allowed me to be involved in whatever I wanted to. But after freshman year, I made the decision to actually go to a school. Even though I was raised to be a very good Catholic in a Catholic home, it took me until the summer before my sophomore year to have my first retreat experience, which was Servants for Christ. Before that, I was always involved in church because my family was, but I never really saw the point. This retreat was a huge turning point for me in my faith journey and gave me a lot of courage and strength for going to a new school that fall. Being involved in church quickly went from something that I had always avoided to something that I found myself wanting and needing. When I think about how God has walked me through high school, though, where I go to school isn't really my first thought. Because I was so excited to finally get out of the house and go to a real school, I never really took the time to consider going to a Catholic school. And I never knew what I was missing out on until I started to get more involved with my faith. I never had the opportunity to go on retreats like Kairos, join school faith groups, or find any real community with my friends from school. And because my church didn't have a youth group at the time, I was forced to seek out youth groups and opportunities for myself. And this is where I can start to see how public school has been a great blessing to me. I started by getting involved at the St. Mary's Hudson Youth Group. I really liked it there, but there were so many people, and I didn't really connect with anyone. So after floating around for a while, I made a search retreat and found such an amazing connection there with not only God, but also my new friends. A little while after that, my parish started a youth group, and I started going there every week. This continued as I got more involved at different retreats, youth groups, and organizations. For example, my most recent venture has been with St. Pascal's Bailon Parish and the Life in the Eucharist program. We will be going on a mission trip in April to put on a retreat for a school in Arizona, and my involvement in Life in the Eucharist is directly caused by the connections that I made in search. This has been a blessing because all of the amazing people and experiences that came with it, but also kind of a little bit of a curse because I've had more than my fair share of being an outsider at youth groups. The beauty in all this is being able to see God's hand through it all. I've been able to participate in all of these amazing groups, and I have learned and experienced so much more than I would have if I had initially gotten involved at school and never felt the need to go outside for nourishment. Well, that part of public school is really great. One of the most defining parts of my time at public school is getting a lot of hard questions about my faith and my vocation. And as you know, I'm going to Borromeo Seminary in the fall. A lot of people at my school really don't know or understand the concept of vocations, which makes my decision to go to the seminary very weird to them. Because people know where I'm going to college, it makes me even more responsible to defend my faith and my values. While also being a peacemaker, and especially with the recent events that have been causing a lot of frustration. And the moral and political dilemmas of the past few months and years have really challenged me at school in stepping up to being an authentic Catholic. Through this, I was forced to either be intentional with my faith and living it out, or being unauthentic. I never had the luxury of being able to do what the people around me were doing and claim to be a Catholic or a Christian. I'm challenged every day to work hard, participate, be involved, and set a good example of authentic Christian living for my peers. What community and membership that I lack from my school, I found in my parish. About 2 years ago, we started a life team group at IHM, which has been amazing. I have so many great friends there from both Catholic and public schools, and they continually challenge me and bring me deeper in my own faith. Also through my parish, I've been blessed with so many opportunities to work and volunteer my time around the church and school. My time and work at Immaculate Heart of Mary has been very rewarding and also has helped me to a new insight of what life is like for our priests. I'd like to leave you with this thought. Had I known the benefits of going to a Catholic school as an incoming freshman or sophomore, I'm not sure that I would have made the same choice. But the fact is that I made that choice, and God still worked through my life to guide me into Life Team, into Search, into a mission trip, and ultimately into the seminary. Basically put, no matter where you go, God is there. Thank you.
I would like to thank our wonderful speakers for sharing their experiences and reflections about their journey of faith. And it never ceases to amaze every year the composure, the thoughts. I mean, you guys are certainly beyond your years. I forget which one of you made fun of us old people. You said it in a nice way, but it was no. You guys were terrific, and it gives us a lot of hope for the future. I'm a little off script here. Please take a moment and write down your questions, and we'll have some of the members of the board bring them up. While you're doing that, we have a few announcements. Our next First Friday Club luncheon will be here at Tangiers on Friday, April 7th, when our speaker will be John Litton, the Executive Director of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul's of the Diocese of Cleveland. His topic will be the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, 150 years of service, spirituality, and friendship. If you're listening to the podcast of this on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations in three ways. You can send a check for $20 to the First Friday Club, 795 Russell Avenue, Akron, Ohio, 44307. You can call our phone number at 330-535-7668 each month and make your reservation. If you sign up on a monthly basis, please let us know by the Tuesday before the Friday talk. You can hear our podcast of the previous speaker's presentations by logging on to the website. Please consider recommending it to a friend as well. You can also keep up to date by joining us on Facebook. And that's fairly new for us, so you guys would be technical folks. If you're not already on our mailing list, please take time to fill out one of the orange information cards on your tables so that we can add you to our email list and keep you apprised of upcoming First Friday events. Now I'd like to recognize any first-time attendees. If you would stand briefly and be recognized, that would include probably some of our grade school folks. So anybody who's here for the first time, please stand. Thank you. You may be seated. We have students from St. Vincent's, St. Mary's, Archbishop Hoban, Walsh Jesuit, and Our Lady of the Elms High School. If you guys would stand to be recognized. We also have grade school students from Immaculate Heart of Mary, Holy Family, St. Sebastian's, and St. Mary Elementary School. If you'd stand. You guys can sit, and if we just kneeled, we'd have mass today. So that would be. And now our First Friday board members, if you would stand and be recognized, they put in a lot of work throughout the year. Now, Emily, if you have questions.
These are for everybody.
These first two are for all of you. Do you have a favorite teaching of Pope Francis?
Hello, I'm Beck. Well, one thing that I admire particularly about Pope Francis is his teaching on the environmental issues going on right now. I took an environmental class last year at Hoban, and it truly opened my eyes to so many things going on. And the fact that he calls us all to come together, to work together, to have a good future for our world is pretty inspiring.
Okay, well, I was not prepared for this, but okay, I don't have a specific. I like all of the things he does, but I especially love how he is very inclusive and he includes everyone around the world. And I also like how he always asks people to pray for him. That's usually the first thing that he says. That's actually the first thing that he said when he was elected Pope. So, yeah.
Chase just said, I also liked his teachings about inclusiveness because, like, everyone is a person and you should love everybody for who they are. So, yeah.
First, I love that he's a Jesuit coming from a Jesuit school. One of my favorite messages from Pope Francis is his message of being humble. With all the extravagance that can be found in the papacy, sometimes he has really dulled that down and has shown us what it really means to be Catholic in our roots.
Well, I'm just about out of things to say because I don't want to repeat anything that they said. But I really like no one specific. I was in a chapel one time and I saw this book and it was all about Pope Francis' teachings on different parts of the gospel. And I remember just opening it and being very inspired just by his wisdom and just the truth that he preaches through the gospel. And so also his teachings on, or his constant message on, you know, being a unified world and we're kind of all in this together. So.
So we'll go in reverse order so you don't have to. How do you plan to keep your faith strong after high school and through college? And,
Well, obviously, so going to the seminary makes that pretty easy. We kind of have to.
Question just for you.
So wonderful. Okay. I'll look at. So obviously it makes it kind of easy. We have morning prayer and daily mass every morning. Of course, a lot of time spend a holy hour in adoration. Throughout the week and going to mass. And also I'll be taking plenty of philosophy and theology classes, which can't hurt. And yeah, I don't. All right, I'll let you. I'll pass it on. Should I take this now or should I take it a minute?
Yeah, well, might as well do it now. Will you read it?
What led you to know? Okay, so the question is, Joel, what led you to know you were called to the seminary? So actually on the first retreat that I kind of talked about, that was that Servants for Christ retreat that I made before sophomore year, there was a priest and very good friend of mine now, Father Patrick Anderson, and he said, have you ever thought about being a priest? We're doing some work and stuff, and I kind of laughed at him. I was like, no. You know, I kind of thought I was going to go be a doctor or something and, you know, have kind of this plan. I prayed about it on that retreat and kept praying about it. It became something that was very, like, desirable to me. It just seems like a great way to live your life, too. So, yeah, just kind of, it's very appealing to me and was sort of started sophomore year and just gotten more involved. So, I hope that answers it.
So for me to keep faithful through college and beyond, my shortlist for college includes two Jesuit schools and one Marianist school. So one of the criteria for me was I wanted a school that had a Catholic faith rooted in it so that I could continue to build upon what I've already learned and to foster greater understanding in God.
So for maintaining my faith through college, well, obviously, like I said, I'm going to Case Western, and that's obviously not a Catholic school or has any ties to faith. So I won't have like the requirement to maintain my faith, but I plan on trying to keep going to Mass every week because I want to, and it's a good thing to do. And I'm going to try and find some like service groups or peer ministry to get involved with because that's something I enjoy doing.
Okay, like Mitchell said, I want to keep on doing what I'm doing now, which is going to church every single Sunday, and I also have a Bible app on my phone that I usually read, and so I plan to keep on doing that, and also just surrounding myself with people who have the same beliefs as me, and yeah. Yep.
Well, I was actually just talking to a deacon that's a teacher at our school, and I got the opportunity to cantor at the Ash Wednesday Mass this Wednesday at Hoban, and I was talking to him earlier in the week because I had cantored a couple times for Hoban Masses, and he's like, wherever you go, you better cantor. And I'm like, okay. I didn't even like think about that. I'm like, I don't even know how to... He's like, just go up to somebody and be like, I want to cantor. And they're going to be like, we want you. Yes. And I was like, that's such a... I didn't even think about doing that. I mean, I'm going to be there anyway. I might as well. That's a great time. And they say it's praying twice. So I definitely want to continue cantoring for Masses. I think that's a great opportunity for me. And also, I think there are just so many... every single thing you do has the opportunity to help you grow in faith. I mean, every single relationship and situation you're in has the potential for it as long as we look at it that way. So, yeah.
Let's give the panelists another round of applause. And we do have some gifts. Oh, over, we have gifts for you all over at the table, and I have some gift cards. So make sure you see me too. We'll ask now. For our Immaculate Heart of Mary student, McKenna Jones, who will lead us in our closing prayer.
Please bow your heads as we ask for God's blessing on us as we prepare to leave this gathering and put into practice the presentations that have been shared with us. Blessed are you, Lord our God, who has given to each of us a personal destination and purpose in life. We thank you, God of mysterious ways, that you have a holy design for each of us. We rejoice that we are, each of us, special to you, that our names are written in the palm of your hand, and our place in history, our purpose for existing, is known within your heart since endless ages. We are grateful for that long line of holy people, who have since ancient times have inspired us by their faithfulness to their own special destinies. They, by their very lives, shout out to us, not to compromise our destinies, but to live fully within your internal design. Blessed are you, inscrutable Lord, for those events, persons, talents, and loves, which have helped us to discover adventures and purpose, fruitfulness, and meaning, in our sometimes empty and seemingly insignificant lives. Blessed are you for priests, teachers, parents, older students, and other guides who call us out from the cocoon of comfort and contentment to embark upon the unique path which you have set forth for each of your sons and daughters. Blessed are you, Lord our God, who has given to each of us a personal destiny and purpose in life. Amen.
I want to thank everyone for coming, and we look forward to seeing you here next month on April 7th.